Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, so if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header, and you'll be good to go. All right, everyone, we are super lucky to be here with Michelle Weir, and she has an awesome video on My Music Masterclass. She's a vocalist and an arranger and a pianist, a really, really great educator, and acclaimed all over the world. She's got some amazing arrangements. I believe Swingle Singers, I know you did stuff with the Boston Pops and Manhattan Transfer, and you teach at UCLA. I may be missing things, but that is a pretty good resume. And we're happy you're alive and here with us. How you doing?
Thank you, Adam. First of all, I'm glad to be alive also. And but I'm even more glad to be with you and alive. So I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hanging in. You know, I just got back from a 4-year-old socially distanced birthday party. So, you know, I'm a little challenged right now, but I'm going to bring it all together here. And I'm glad to have you, because if I had to do this by myself without you, I'm in 4-year-old socially distanced birthday mode right now. So
I think if the world all paid some dues with a 4-year-old birthday party, the world would be a much better place. Yeah. I really do.
Just keeping masks on the kids and them running around doing scavenger hunts. It was pretty cool.
It sounds like a loads of fun.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Were they playing our favorite political game, Find the Truth?
They did find some spiders, and I believe that, you know, there's some truth in that. Yeah, there's some stuff going on. But Michelle, what have you been up to recently? I know that you always had a Zoom thing going on. You had a good Zoom presence before the proverbial bomb hit here. But so I'm assuming you've been doing a lot of that. Like, what are you up to?
You know, when the COVID first hit, it was so lovely because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, a forced vacation. I'm so happy. And everybody else I spoke with felt the same. And then guess what happened? Life got so busy again, like stupidly, overly workaholic level. Busy. So I don't really know how that happens, but I know that for me, it's something I somehow manifest in life a lot. Things are good. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I'm busy with good stuff. I'm part-time at UCLA. It's very part-time. I'm also part-time at New Jersey City University now, which is interesting. And then a lot of people are asking me to do guest teaching drop bys and so on with their school and their ensembles and stuff. The thing that I really got my heart and soul in right now is called Music Habit. It's an online school and it's, you know, it's in development. We opened about almost a year ago and we've got a number of classes up now and I'm, you know, just really having fun being creative with it, trying to be a good business person and copy your role model.
Oh man, that's big.
Yeah, that's really the truth. You do have a wonderful website and wonderful business sense.
No, I appreciate that.
I admire it.
You know, I appreciate, first of all, thank you. And you know, don't make any of the mistakes I made. No, but you know, I know that we had talked, Michelle and I saw each other right before, it was January of 2020, right before, both of us completely naive to what was about to happen. We were in New Orleans at this.
It was at the convention.
Yeah, we were at a convention.
Like, where was that? That's awesome.
And we were talking a lot about basically getting your shit together, whatever that is, business. I believe you're talking about taxes, and we were kind of talking about this thing that's so important for musicians to get together. And I know you have a lot of that in you. And have you ever talked to your students about the business, about keeping your, you know, just even filing taxes, about any of this really non-musical musician stuff?
You know, I really haven't taught those things as topics at a workshop or in the class, but sometimes I'll do workshops that are a little bit bigger than just the notes and the chords and stuff. And I have one workshop that I like to call A Life in Music. And that opens, you know, that's very welcoming of all the those types of topics about the business of music and how we handle procrastination, which is, you know, such a common ailment for pretty much all humans, I think, to some extent. Either that, you know, on the flip side of that is the workaholism, which I'm guilty of. I'm guilty of both. And that's the irony. You know, you can have both of those things going at the same time. But yeah, we talk about, you know, what are we up to in life? Where are we going? And what does it take? And then sometimes we pull in the business part of it. Like, well, did you look at how much money you're going to make if you made a budget? You know, are you, what kind of money are you asking for? What, you know, if you want to start doing this, how much do you think you can make? Is that sustainable for your life, et cetera? Well, I think it's really important for young people to be thinking about that because they don't really teach that in high school or college. Exactly. No. I mean, there are music industry majors, but I'm not sure they really get into the nuts and bolts of, you know, let's put this on a spreadsheet and calculate out what this is going to look like. Okay.
Yeah. And,
I have a question on procrastination, because you could be a workaholic and you can be really good at procrastination. I feel like the difference is people will procrastinate when it has to do with any personal growth. And I feel like if someone gives you a job, you will not leave your seat until it's done. Do you think that has to do with like people not trusting their own art form practice to like make them money later? So they'll be a workaholic on something that they need to do that's going to be paid. Like, I feel like that's a major, that's a problem with me. It's like, I don't trust the, you know, system of like, if I just do this myself, then later on it'll be worth it. Do you kind of find that with students and with yourself sometimes, or?
You know, that's a really great question, because if we could solve the answer of why do we procrastinate, you know, that would really perhaps
that would be help us in life
a lot. I have definitely thought about it a lot, because I've actually, sorry, not to get too personal here, but I mean, I've really, really tried to figure out why I have that workaholic thing and what the flip side is about procrastination. I think there's definitely something, there's some kind of avoidance. That's what I've come to feel.
Yeah, it's definitely fear-based. It has to be.
Yeah, right. It's some aversion to something. And then, you know, you hear about fear of success. Well, you know, I really can't completely wrap my brain around what that means, but I kind of can, because that's the thing. Like, I'll just do everything for anybody. And I do, you know, I will be very giving and not procrastinating. And then when it's something for myself, a lot of times those are the things that will last, which is ridiculous. And I know it. And then I keep,
but it's not ridiculous though. That I think that's why I think it's because you know the work that has to go into it, and you know that it's not going to be something that you just do and then it's there and then it's done. So I think that's why it's like the fear of putting all that, those hours and all that work and then like maybe it doesn't work out. Like that's a legitimate fear. I feel like that's the crux of like the student in general. That's hard to do. That's hard to overcome.
It's like, it's like what I talked about with that book, The Art of War, the book about the screenwriter that I was telling you about, Jake. And I've said on the podcast that he talks about the fact that he would just make this time in his room to sit and write and not judge it, no matter if it was dreck or if it was amazing, and just do the work every day, and made it so that he just had to get past these blocks. And the whole thing with it that he keeps, the mantra for him is that the more he doesn't want to do something, the more important it is. And of course, that goes with the caveat that it's not like jumping off a bridge or something like that. But I mean, you know, the more he was avoiding doing some piece of work, that's probably a really important piece of work. Like, why is he so opposed to getting that done? Why is he procrastinating so hard for that? So I thought that was an interesting perspective. It's definitely tangible. You know, also, I think that procrastination is hard for some people, because oftentimes certain people are very good when they work. Like Jake was saying, if someone has a job where they work a 9-to-5 and they're given tasks and they can complete their tasks, but not everyone's good at making their own tasks and goals. I've always been naturally good about it, but you know, some people, if you just say, all right, I need you to write this book in a month, just go to your house and do it. Like, they'll wait until, you know, week three and start.
October 30th.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Whatever. Of course, you know, writing a book in a month is pretty rough, but you get the point.
Yeah. I think another corner of this question is a third element. You know, there's the workaholism, procrastination, and then there's perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times high achiever type, A-type personalities, you know, go-getters, you know, in some way, are also set such a high bar for themselves that then there's the fear of, you know, I just don't know if I can achieve that as well as I need to, because I, you know, I want to succeed. It's so important to succeed in this, you know. And then now I'm breaking things into all these details. That's kind of where my brain goes.
This is fine.
Life is not simple.
Then there's the question of, like, the author of The Art of War that Adam was just talking about.
Yeah, I think it was The War of Art. That's what I may have said it wrong. But it was,
War of Art?
Yeah, because The Art of War would be Sun Tzu, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, like, I see.
It was a play on words.
So it's like a play on it.
Yeah, it's a play on words. It's The War of Art, you know.
Oh, cool. So I mean, like when we procrastinate during an artistic activity, that's one kind of procrastination. And when we procrastinate because we've got so much busy work to do relating to our business, that might be a different kind of procrastination.
That's more organizing based.
The minutia of life, which is just so overwhelming sometimes.
I feel like this is our responsibility almost in the education world, specifically of music, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, and maybe this is sort of looking at musicians on a pedestal, but I kind of put musicians on a pedestal, but like, we're teaching a skill that's so like, you get so many other skills out of it that help in life, that if we can break down these types of, because you run into these barriers really fast. So like, if you're teaching college and maybe even high school and they can solve these types of problems, and they're going to do it through us. It's not going to happen through their biology professor because they don't work with them personally. Mm-hmm. I feel like music teachers have sort of an inside track on someone's actual like life, the way that they do everything. So I guess that's why I'm asking that, because if you could solve these things at a young age, there'll be no stopping you in anything. It doesn't. You don't have to continue on to music professionally. Like, we don't teach everybody that's only professional. Even in college, like, they go off, they do other things. But I think it's important stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can learn how to do a lot of things. I mean, I think that there's plenty of people that went into this may be a weird example, but there's plenty of people that went into the military and weren't organized and they come out and they're very regimented, or people that go into certain professions and they're, you know, they don't, your body and your mind just kind of morph into something if you do it long enough. And I don't know, as a professional musician, you really have to get your stuff together or you're not going to, I mean, there's no one, that's the thing, is that there's no one that's going to yell at you. Like, there's no boss. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe your mom will yell at you if you're still in the basement. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like, it's like, you didn't do the project that was due today, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not that. You have to make your own goals, and your success really has to do with how organized you can do this and how much drive you have and how much you can deal with rejection. That's something we've talked about a lot, but that's huge, you know. I mean, rejection is like, I don't know, every day, you know. It just is what it is. You just got to brush it off. Learn from it.
Sometimes I feel like there's some people that are very fortunate and they learn what their heart's desire or their passion is early in life. Mm-hmm. And it fits for them. It feels right. They're naturally good at it, you know, but maybe still have to work to develop their natural abilities. But it just feels right for them. And a ton of people in life are just scrambling, you know, and probably going down wrong paths because of what they're told or what they think will make enough money for them or give them enough this or that. Adam, I really honestly think probably you are one of those people that figured out something that really works well for you, that you do well, and it seems like you're happy. You've figured out how to have a family life, four-year-old birthday parties, for example, and a thriving business, and the business continues to unfold.
I know, I appreciate that. I mean, I've definitely figured out what I want to do, but it's a lot of it has to do with the paths that I've taken. And this is something that we've talked about on the podcast before, where the path is not A to B, you know, it's not a straight line. Like, you start out, I started out as just a bass player, and then I went here and I started writing, and then I went there, and then I did this, and now I've come full circle, just kind of keeping my interests and my needs in mind and staying in the passionate place I want to be, but also turning that into a business. But I think a lot of people have that inside them. I think it just has to do with being creative about your entrepreneurship or your opportunities, and also kind of embracing the fear, because I'm not going to say that I was never scared to like drop everything and move to Los Angeles when I lived in New York my whole life, or scared to start a business when I was writing music for television and playing bass, like, and just trying to give that my energy. It's always scary, but I kind of like the fear, you know. I mean, I think that it's how you deal with it. We had a psychologist on once. He was a peak performance psychologist from California, and he deals a lot with classical musicians and orchestras and performance anxiety and all these things. And the truth is that everyone has fear, but it's just how you deal with it, you know? I mean, and you can either embrace it and it makes your performance alive. Or, I mean, if you didn't have fear, you'd probably just be blah, you know? I mean,
yeah. You gotta recognize the different types, you know? There's good fear, there's bad fear.
Yeah, but it's not crippling you, you know, with anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Right. So I don't know. I feel that I totally understand what you said. You know, I just watched this, or we're in the middle of watching the documentary The Vow on HBO. Have you guys watched that?
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable, but it's about a cult, and you know, I don't want to give it away, but it's all the people that are involved in this thing are all intelligent people, attractive, intelligent, but they're missing something. And it's maybe like you said, maybe they're just missing that purpose in life, right? And that's a big one. You know what I mean? You can be smart, you can be attractive, you can seem like you have it all together, but you know, whatever it is that you're looking for, but, you know, it's not the higher purpose, right?
It's very interesting you should say that, because we're in a period of time right now, obviously, and we won't go into too much detail, but
sure,
we're in an arena here where there's a charismatic leadership going on that seems to attract a certain demographic of people and maybe a few different, you know. And the question is, you know, why? Because some others don't agree with that person
right.
At all. And so people, you know, been writing and speculating on that, and all the ways that humanity responds to confidence, for example.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's simply, I mean, you could just say anything.
Right.
And if you say it with enough confidence and enough repetition, it's going to win over a certain type of personality.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And in a way, any kind of mentality that of people that are searching, you know, it allows these things to kind of come in. And when I do believe that everyone does have a purpose, and I don't know, I think it's just harder for some people to find it. And at the same time, I don't know. I just knew what I wanted to do. So maybe I shouldn't even talk about it, you know, because do you know what I mean? It's kind of like music chose me, you know, and, mm-hmm. And I've worked very well within that confines of being smart about which choices I made and what careers I could kind of do within my life. But I always knew that I wanted to be in music, you know, and I always was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, either as a professional musician gigging or writing or and now in another role completely. But if you don't have that to start with, it's different. Like, I know that everyone I'm looking at here, Jake and Michelle, like you know, I'm sure that you had a music bug when you were very young, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, less than 17, that's for sure, you know, and you probably knew what you wanted to do, even though I'm sure it's different back then. You may have wanted to be just a singer, or Jake just wanted to be a guitarist, and I just want to be a bass player, and that evolves. But you always knew you wanted to do music. Like, you didn't, right? Did you, or did you want to be a writer or something else?
Nope. Music found me, and I found music, and that was it. There was no turning back.
Yeah.
For sure. And it was a natural fit. All the signs were a go. I was good at it, and I liked it. So it was a perfect marriage. But I'll tell you something interesting, and that is, you know, about one finding their life purpose, honestly. And I don't think I've said this out loud yet, because I just started noticing it about 6 months ago. I think I found the very best thing I could possibly do right now, and the thing that it gives me the most satisfaction, and that is this online school. It's just the perfect storm of things for me. And it allows me to take my whole life experience and put it into this one thing, and creative control of so many aspects, and actually, you know, give something to the world, really give something of value that is, you know, just satisfying on a life level for people. At least that's what I'm aspiring to turn it into. And all of my life previously, yes, I was so busy. I traveled around the world. Yes, I wrote for orchestra. Yes, I have, you know, done just so many things. And it was fun, but I was always living on the edge of, I'm not really completely comfortable with this because I'm working too hard and I'm not making enough money. And I think maybe the reason for this difference is that all those things I did before, I was a work for hire, basically.
Right.
I mean, I created my career, yes. If someone asked me about my arrangements, I followed up. And I did all the business things you do.
Right. But you were commissioned for some of that, too.
I was right. Commissioned for a ton of things. Yeah. On my publications or for a publisher. People hired me to write for the orchestra or to work with the Manhattan Transfer. So all work for hire. And I never started my own business, really, you know, until now.
Right.
And I have my own business that really fits me, my personality and my knowledge base and experience base. And wow, that feels really good.
Did you feel any resistance for starting your business? Is there a reason it took you until now, or was it just the right time?
I just hardly know. I just know that with all the cool, fun things I've done all over the world, hanging out in Moscow, just all these things, it was a roller coaster. You know, it was just like work, 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 and then come home and get ready to work again.
Yeah.
But I mean, and one definitely doesn't have to look at it like work. I get that the perspective it can be easily, it should be, wow, I get to go travel to Russia and to Thailand and to,
yeah,
you know, and do these things. And I do feel like that on a level, but I really feel it now. It's just different. The other was somehow scrambling to please people and to be perfect and be really good at stuff. There was some percentage of that in what I was doing. Now, it's not really about that. It's got a little more soulful thing about it, you know? I'm doing it for really honorable reasons, you know? And it's not just about making money, and it's all my designs. So it's like a little reflection of me, sort of. Mm-hmm. And that just feels good.
But I think that's the pathway. That's like, without all that other stuff, you don't appear at this place now. I mean, it's like if you're cooking,
agreed.
You know, you're going from like chopping onions to putting like a finishing sauce after you plate something. Like you forget that you were chopping onions, and without that, it's like that wouldn't have ever, you wouldn't be finishing it right now.
To start your own restaurant, even.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pathway. That's just, you can't get anywhere from nowhere, you know?
Yeah, you may be right, but then there are people that have done it. They started in the 20s
it's just like 30s. Bam.
And it was just the right thing. Steve Jobs, you know, did it. He just did it. It was natural. Yeah.
He's kind of an outlier. I mean, there are certain people that are kind of trained with a startup mentality. I wasn't, you know, I started later than those people as well. I mean, there's people that go to school for business and they're trained for startups, for this, for getting funding, for acquiring investors, for doing all this stuff that I never learned. I had to learn by myself. You know, I mean, I learned now, I know things, but when I was younger, I was worried about like the scales of the jazz melodic minor, you know. You know,
do you feel it though, all through, like, because right now I can, and for a while now, since I made the move to LA about a decade ago, I feel like everything I do, even if it's not playing music or whatever, it's like this big long turn on a ship. And I know that it's going to where I want it to go. Like, I could literally feel that. So everything I do, it's like these things that are coming in. And I'm like, yeah, like, this is all going to, like, come to something that's going to be. I feel like you arrived there.
Yeah.
But, like, did you ever feel that? Did you feel like that stuff was kind of moving towards some place that you wanted to be?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there were some moments I would just be in tears when it's, wow. This is so cool. I mean, I had a lot of inspired moments and stuff in life, of course. But it wasn't really very, it just wasn't very organized. The phone rang. I said yes. Then I got on an airplane for a lot of years. And yeah. I could have been much more select. If I knew then, if I had the perspective then that I have now, or if I had mentorship, you know, I think I might have gotten to a place earlier and learned how to say no, which we all know is a big part of the equation here, and gone, just been a little more selective, and also tried to be more accepting of who I am and that it's okay to really be myself and do it the way I want to do it because it feels right to me, instead of looking at a photo of a successful business person and then thinking, oh, I've got to attain that. That's going to be challenging. Yeah.
That's huge, huge advice. And like, that's a lot of time and experience right there to say something like that. I think that's amazing.
I think, Jake, though, that your whole wave thing is a really mature way to look at goals. And I don't think that a lot of people go there. I think people get frazzled by the fact that they don't know if what they're doing is going to get them there. I think that's the majority of people. I think for you to think that there's this giant ship turning and it's going in the right direction is like pretty glass half full. I mean, I
think it's cutting out stuff you don't need either. So you know that no matter what you do, it's not going to be a waste in any way.
No, I mean,
you know what I mean? Because
to me, I think the goal for every musician, you know, when they feel like they're struggling to figure out where they're going to go next, is to is to take it, you know, take it down a notch and to think it through. And and definitely, you know, I do think that the goals that you have are important, but because our paths go so many different directions, it's also important just to pivot with the wind. Like Michelle was saying, that sometimes the phone just rings. When I was younger and I was gigging a lot all the time, and then I would get called for a composer gig, I would just take what I was very like the wind, you know, I would just take whatever happened. And I felt very zen about that. I said, you know, sometimes I get a project where I'm composing, but then when that ends, sometimes I get a call to go on the road, and then that works. And then this, and I was fine with it until I figured out what I wanted to do. And, but you know, at the same time, I could not have done what I'm doing without all the experience I've had, or else I would have failed. I wasn't ready for it, you know. It's just like some people aren't ready. Don't get married before you you're ready. Don't have kids before you're ready. Don't start a business before you're ready, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah, there's certain things you learn on your feet, but yeah, like you don't want to have no ground.
No.
Like that's just a certain amount of responsibility in those decisions, because sometimes that'll hold people back. And there was a book on I forget what it was, but it was sort of like a self-help type book. And the one thing I took from it was, if someone opens a door, a crack, usually you just want to slam it shut because you're not sure that you're like ready for it yet. And she's saying like, just kick it open. So a lot of like the freelance type workers out there, to get to that next level, they might never do it because they just might think they're never ready. And they keep slamming that door shut when something opens. And you do that enough times, no one's going to call you.
That's also part of the imposter syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, which is something I'm actually talking about in the new issue of the guidebook, The Motivated Musician. You know, there's a lot of musicians are just, the reason that they are so resistive to, or resistant to change and all these things, is because they just feel like they're an imposter. And if they were successful, like, I'm going to be found out, you know? I mean, it's so, human nature is so jacked
only
up.
Happened with Milli Vanilli. It'll never happen again. And I still love those beeps.
But
not even mad. I'm not even mad.
So did you go through all the hoops of starting your own business? Did you form it yourself, or did you get someone to help you?
I'm sort of feel like I'm still in the process. You know, I basically had the idea and then jumped in and just started making it,
right.
And then I did get a trademark, and they have an LLC now.
Good, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot more to do. And again,
there's always,
you know,
something else to do.
I know.
Do you have to have meetings with yourself, like Adam had to do the first couple of years?
No, but I'll tell you what.
Filings, yeah.
I spent a ton of money on assistant help, though.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's better to have a team. Like, I mean, you two, for example, are part of the Music Masterclass team, mm-hmm. my Music Masterclass. And, you know, I'm sure that feels good to have that long relationship. And,
you know, there are resources you can use, and this is maybe good for other people listening. There are specific not-for-profits in California, and I believe in New York. I know they're in California because I went to them, and they will help start up businesses. They will help you if you're looking to get SBA loans. They will help you format your whole business plan. They will help you after you've gotten funding, before, if not, if you don't even want it. They'll help you with all kinds of things, and you don't have to pay them a dollar. It's part of the state. So it's something to look forward to if you need any assistance. They'll help you with QuickBooks. They'll help you with whatever. And it's these resources a lot of people don't understand. But if you're new to a small business, take it. You know, I mean, it's,
yeah.
I went to them, you know, I mean, just to learn about.
They want companies to be strong.
No, they do. And it's part of, it's literally part of the state of California. I mean, they're trying to help, you know, so.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Actually, I do that.
Good.
I have that. But I just heard you say some things that have opened my eyes a little bit. I mean, they're not really helping me write a business plan or do any of that. Maybe I have to specifically ask for that.
Yeah.
But
if you're looking for funding,
these...
yeah, they'll tell you what you need to get and what they're looking for. And they'll even read it over after you've done it. Like, because you have to get your projections in and all these things. It's a pain in the ass to write a business plan if you're going to give it to bankers, of course, because then you have to have projections and then your demographic, and there's pie graphs showing like who's going to like it and, you know, the history and your and who you're competing with. And but when it comes down to it, if you can secure a loan, I feel like there's a certain group of people that want you to get that loan. And it's those people, it's those not-for-profits that their goal is not to screw you. They're not the bank's mortgage lender. They're not this. They're they're literally want you to succeed. So they will even help doll up your business plan and say, look, you know, this is not attractive, this part. Like, you know, they want to see this. And and it's important for us, you know, because I don't have an MBA, you know. I came from, you know, the common sense school and the music school, and I learned a lot after that because I had to. And and I took anything I could get in terms of people trying to help.
Well, that's got me thinking a little bit more about what I could do with the Small Business Administration, because it is a great service. It's great to let people know about. I had no idea until a few months ago.
Totally.
Kathy Segal Garcia actually told me about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, those are tools. It's like once you find out about it, you're like, why didn't I know about this? But they've been very helpful to me, and or they were in the past when I was growing my business. They even had a social media expert there at the one I was at a while ago, and she told me about some strategies with LinkedIn at the time and some different strategies that she was employing. And I thought that they were, it's always get someone's perspective. You can either go full force with it or dismiss it, but it never hurts to sit down with someone that does that all day. That's for sure. So is your business active for the public? Is this a web link we can give people, or is this something that we have to wait a little bit for and you just want to tell them about?
No, it's out.
100%.
It's out and about. It's out. It's musichabit.com. Musichabit.com. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Right now, I'm actively trying to build product. It's a little slow because I don't have my team in place yet, but kind of little by little I'm building that. But it's a little designed, it's mostly designed for singers now, jazz singers. Mm-hmm. And specifically, we're providing product for the classroom for obvious reasons.
Perfect.
Because people really, really need that. It was very fortuitous in a way. I mean, it was just sort of serendipitous, let's say, that I launched our first classes in December 2019. And 2 months later, the whole world needed to go online. So it was just a weird coincidence.
Yeah, and we should call you Nostradamus or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I'm trying to build it. I'm already kind of expanding and thinking of new areas to go into, and honestly trying to figure out the business side of it as I go and just find out what the right thing to do is and be smart about it. But
sure,
the whole concept of it, I really, really enjoy and have fun.
That's great.
It seems like some like fun specific stuff too. It's not the boring like let's learn scales today. It's like
absolutely.
You have like the Shirley Horn effect. Like that's just interesting. I'm like, ooh, I wonder what that is.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to really humanize it. I mean, to the extent we can humanize online stuff, and I'm trying to, you know, this is where the humanity comes in, where I feel like I can give something of myself that really is me giving something to the world, and that is the interest to just help people and not make it be about, you know, earning a buck all the time. So, I mean, already right now I give away some of my time, and I'm thinking of having like an office hour thing where I just, you know, anybody can, you know, I'll have like 4 hour slot one day a week, and anybody can sign up for an office hour for free, you know, just to help people right now, because people need help. And I like the idea of generating good feelings and doing things that make people feel good and having check-ins like during the courses. So it's not just dry, you know, like Jake said, learning about the super worker you made. But, you know, it's I need some help. I know. Let me contact Michelle, you know, and then you get a 20-minute session, you know, stuff like that.
It's endless stuff. People need endless stuff. It's like, how do I practice singing? I can't go to my school. I have to practice in my apartment and I'm afraid to sing in front of,
you know, and my dog freaks out every time I sing.
Yeah, it's just like, you never know. I mean, it's people, yeah. People like to be able to search for help and find it.
For sure. Like, yeah. And then with all my college teaching for all these years, I love being big sister, you know, young people or adults, you know, I mean, like college teachers, other college teachers that are new to jazz or something. I love, that's the fun part of it. And building that into the school to the extent possible. And so far, so good.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, we recently, Jake and I did a 1 hour Zoom kind of conference webinar / Q&A event, and for the sole purpose of hearing what our listeners to the podcast and our customers and musicians from the website want to talk about and what they wanted to ask. And I really felt, and I know Jake did as well, I just wanted to know what people need right now, because it's kind of, I don't know. I think not only is it dumb, but it's insensitive to continue to push product without getting a sense of having your boots on the ground. And it's a very, very strange time. This isn't just business as usual. And we got a lot of the similar questions. It was very cool. A lot of uncertainty. A lot of people making moves, because one guy was on a cruise ship for 10 months out of a year every year, and he is no longer has that gig. You know, I mean, a lot of interesting, very tough questions, you know, and what do we do now? What do I do when I move? A lot of the same principles apply, you know, in terms of networking, making friends, getting to know people, but the game has changed, and it's not going to bend back the same way as it was right away, and we have to adapt. And it was good to do it. And we're going to do another one soon. You know, I mean, it's good just to check in with people that are listening to you or in, you know, around you and see what they really want. And it, you know what? I think that's going to be helpful for your business as well. Any way you format it, like you said, with your office hours, because if you're not listening to the people, you're just going to be a relic. You know, I mean, to be honest, it's like, it doesn't makes no sense to me when, if you have a business, not to have some way to openly embrace what people are thinking.
Yeah, I really feel with the unexpected turn of events with COVID, coupling that with all the other high level stress inducing issues of the world,
there's some major movements that are happening on right now, and they're all very important, you know.
It's a very formative time.
Yeah, it's turbulent, to say the least.
Yeah, and creative. I mean, it's depressing and it's stimulating at the same time. I can just see, I mean, providing the planet survives for a little while longer.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, just some new, like a renaissance of some cool stuff in music. And there's already such a, I don't know if you feel this way, but, you know, the cultural climate of young people these days, by young I mean 20-something, you know, their sexuality, their relationships, their career choices, their habitation choices of communal living is very popular, you know, with people like that now. You know, it's just interesting to see how everything is changing. Anyway, I think some creative art will come out of this.
You know, I think that's a great point, and I surely hope it does. And in the past, if, you know, you understand history, which we do to a certain extent, you know, that's what happens. You know, there's always a rebirth of something. I mean, it's happened in, there's literally a Renaissance period in music. So, I mean, there have been a lot of major events and catastrophes over time, and music has come out as beautiful as ever. And I surely hope that happens here as well.
Let's bring back the old tuning system that Palestrina was using. And let's just layer some thirds and sixths. I'm all for that.
No.
Oh, you're a Palestrina. Tostering a fan.
I'm obsessed. That's you like,
I'm going back to Nooms. That's my goal. You know, thanks so much for being on, Michelle. It was great hanging and seeing you, and you look great and you look healthy, and that's all we, and happy. You know, you're glowing from this new opportunity and this new business you have, which is amazing. And I wish you all the best with that and all the health. And, you know, feel free to get in touch if you ever have any questions about anything as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. And Jake, nice to see you again, too, because it's been a couple years. I guess. thanks, Adam. It's always fun to talk to you. We should do it more, and we will over time. But I really admire what you're doing. And
thanks.
Appreciate your approach.
All right. Be safe. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail? You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformancepathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So look forward to hearing from you.